We do praise the Lamb of God, who is Jesus. In his precious name, amen. Our sermon title for tonight is Safe in the Shepherd's Hand. And I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you will. If you brought them, you can use your own. Please turn to our text, a reading from John chapter 10. We'll actually look at several parts of John chapter 10, even beyond our text. If you're a visitor tonight, we hope that you have a Bible at home. If you don't, please feel free to take one as our gift to you so that you can study and read God's precious word. God's precious word. What a beautiful theme is woven in the lessons this evening. And as Pastor alluded to at the announcements this evening, Good Shepherd Weekend. What a beautiful image it is, the Good Shepherd. To be thought of, to be one of Jesus' little lambs, to be cared for him, and to be in the palm of his almighty hand, gentle and tender, and yet awesome and mighty. No one can snatch you out of my hand, because I and the Father are one. You are in my hands and keeping. A beautiful picture of sheep and shepherd. We sang about it at the beginning of the service, and the opening words spoke too. Those familiar, beautiful words from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, there's nothing I need to worry about, because his rod protects me from the evil ones around me, and his staff gathers me safely in. I shall never wander, I shall never wonder, I shall never fear, because the Good Shepherd is with me. And then tonight, from John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd chapter of Scripture, Jesus says several times, I am the Good Shepherd. If you have your Bibles open, look at verse 11 and verse 14. I am the Good Shepherd. And what does the Good Shepherd do? Well, he protects his sheep, but what does verse 11 and what does verse 14 say? I lay down my life. Jesus was predicting, he was telling ahead what he was about to do, to give his life for all his lambs, all his sheep, for the whole flock. Jesus was going to give his life as a sacrificial lamb for you and for me, for the forgiveness of our sins, and to give us the precious gift of eternal life. That's the message of the Good Shepherd. In this chapter, Jesus speaks as the Good Shepherd. After he teaches this about the Good Shepherd, and in verses 1 and 2, verses 3 through 5, he talks about the shepherd and his voice, that the sheep listen and they follow. So in our text for tonight, verses 22 and following, then Jesus is in the temple court. He's in Jerusalem now. He's in Solomon's colonnade. And as he preaches and teaches, he's preaching and teaching about himself being the Good Shepherd and calling his sheep to himself. What our text says is that it was the time of the Festival of Dedication. And the Festival of the Dedication we also know as Hanukkah. The Jews were celebrating Hanukkah, and that's the Festival of Lights. Apparently, some 200 years before the events of our text, what tradition tells us is that the temple of God had been desecrated. The people revolted, took the temple back, and they cleansed the temple. They set up this menorah, and the menorah was to be lit for 8 days. They had pure oil for only 1 day's burning. And miraculously, tradition says that God caused that menorah to burn and burn and burn for the 8 days of the festival. So the Jews were celebrating the Feast of Lights, the Festival of Lights. It was at that time in the winter, Jesus came and was preaching and teaching in the temple courts. And then the Jews said to him, tell us plainly, how long are you going to exasperate us? How long do we have to keep guessing? How much do we need to ask you? Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah that God promised he would send? And Jesus answers them directly and specifically. Jesus says, I've told you over and over and over again, but you won't listen to me because you're not the sheep of my flock. You're not listening to me as the Good Shepherd, as the Messiah. The works that I've done, all the miracles I've done in the name of my Father, they give you the answer to the question you've just asked. And Jesus must have told them about those miracles that he performed, one after the other after the other. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. And as you see the images coming up on the screen before you tonight, you'll see some of these things that proved that Jesus was who he said he was. In the upper left corner, he healed those who were lame. In the upper right corner, he brought the dead back to life. That's Lazarus. In the lower right corner, he gave sight to the blind. The lower left corner, he gave food to those who were hungry. And finally, in the middle, the woman who had the bleeding issue, he healed her too. Each of these events, the five that are here and more like them, they saw him doing. And the things they saw him doing were exactly, specifically, what the prophets had said the Messiah would do when he came among them. Jesus said, "What I've been doing by the Father's name, I've been doing because he has sent me to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But you haven't listened because you're not of my flock." Now, that illustration may not seem to make a lot of sense to us. You know, when we think of livestock, in the farms that are all around Kansas, all over the Midwest, livestock is raised primarily to be slaughtered soon thereafter. And there's not a relationship often, in many cases, between the rancher and the livestock. That's much different than the image of the shepherd and the sheep. You see, the people to whom he was speaking, they understood that image. The image from the Old Testament, the image in the New Testament, the image that they understood. And that is the close relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. One of the authors I read just this week in a book about Middle Eastern customs said that he himself witnessed a shepherd frolicking, playing with his sheep. He would pretend to run away from them, and they would follow after him. He pretended, this author said, to climb some of the rocks, and the rams followed after him until the whole flock surrounded the shepherd again. They frolicked. They were having fun. They were playing together. Oftentimes, the shepherd would build that relationship over 8, 9, 10 years. Because the flock was raised for the wool and for the milk that they would give, not to be slaughtered for the most part, but a lengthy relationship. That's the relationship that Jesus was talking about, a relationship of love, knowing intimately, the sheep being known intimately by the shepherd, and the shepherd knowing and following the voice of the shepherd. That was the relationship. And that's the relationship to which Jesus was calling them, and Jesus is calling us. Another book I read this week talked about that relationship of shepherd and sheep and the business of the voice. In verses 3, 4, and 5 in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "The sheep will follow the voice of the shepherd, but they'll run away from the voice of the one they don't know." This author said, "Early one morning, I saw an extraordinary sight not far from Bethlehem. Two shepherds had evidently spent the night with their flocks in a cave. The sheep were all mixed together, and when the time came for the shepherds to go different directions, one of the shepherds stood some distance from the sheep and began to call. As he called, first one, and then another, and then four or five animals ran toward him, and so on, until he had counted his whole flock. In the Middle East, the sheep know their shepherd's voice, and they respond to it. They respond to no other." Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And brothers and sisters, he's calling you and he's calling me to an intimate relationship, to be his followers, to be safely held in the shepherd's hand so that no one and nothing can snatch you from his hand. There are many voices in our world today, and many of those are sinister voices. The voices of the world, the voice of the devil, the voice even of our sinful flesh calls to us, come this way, come and follow me. Jesus calls us to know his voice, to flee from the voices that are not his, and to come to him as he calls to us. We can only do that if we have an intimate relationship with the shepherd, if we know his voice. And the shepherd comes to us, and the shepherd shows us his voice. He speaks to us so that we'll know him as we come to him in worship. We come to this place and gather to hear his precious word, God himself speaking from the scriptures to our hearts, our needs, our situations, your lives, my life, wherever we may be. He comes to us in worship. He invites us to that intimate relationship of prayer, to ask anything and everything of him, to know that he is listening. He does care, and he can answer us. Pastor mentioned at the beginning of the service again the blue cards, another way for you to be reaching out to the Good Shepherd, to ask him to help you to reach the lost, to ask him to help you and me to be strengthened as the saved, that we might be the people following the Good Shepherd. We hear the shepherd's voice in his precious word. As you read and study his word, in home devotions, in your private reading, as we gather collectively. We didn't have the chance to remind you tonight because that first of those Bible readings and Bible lessons Pastor led tonight will continue for these 4 weeks. If you're not normally in Bible class, I urge you to come even just the next 3 weeks to listen, to gather together, to hear the Good Shepherd's voice. Come early and stay with us for Bible class. He comes to us, and we hear the Good Shepherd's voice in the sacraments as we receive tonight the body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine. The Savior comes to us to forgive us, to strengthen us, and to help us to follow him as he calls to us. He comes to us and we hear the shepherd's voice through our times of fellowship as we play together, as we frolic, as I mentioned of those sheep earlier. When we do that, he's among us and we grow in our relationship with each other and with him. And finally, he sends us out in service as we go about him, serving him and being his people. He calls us and we follow into the world, into service, into those who need to know him too as Lord and Savior. Have you ever been lost before? Sometimes even lost in a crowd? Look at this little child, lost in the midst of a sea of people. When a child is lost and hears the voice of a parent, there are two things that go on, both a sense of excitement and a sense of calm and peace. Exactly opposite, and yet when they hear the voice of a parent, then they know, they're excited and they're safe, and they can be at peace. Brothers and sisters, your Savior is calling to you. We want to be excited and joy-filled because we hear his voice, and we can be calm, too, in the midst of a sea of all sorts of troubles. Tonight, the Good Shepherd holds out his hands for you. In our text, he reminds us, you are in the palm of my hand. I give you eternal life. I give you the promise of paradise if you believe in me, and no one, nothing, will snatch you from my hand. God bless you, brothers and sisters in Christ, safe in the shepherd's hands, safe to follow him as the sheep of his pasture, his flock, his loved ones. He is the Good Shepherd. He laid down his life for you and for me, for our forgiveness, so that we might live for him and follow him. God bless you as you do so. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds listening and attentive to the voice of the Good Shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.